All right, take your Bibles, if you would, please, and find 2 Peter chapter 1. And put the ribbon of your Bible there, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 1. And then find Colossians chapter 2. We have been building sermons. We've built about 9 of them now on walking with God. What it takes to walk with God, how to walk with God. I want to show you a verse of Scripture that helped me understand how to walk with God in a practical way on a daily basis, because we are commanded in Colossians chapter 2 to walk with Him. If we have received Christ as our Savior, then we are commanded to walk with Him. Now, the title of the message tonight is Walking in the Christian Life Without Falling. Walking in the Christian life without falling. Is that possible? Is it possible for us to walk with Christ without falling? Have you ever taken a spill? I have. It's embarrassing, isn't it? Maybe you're out in public, you tripped over something. I remember my mother tripping over something in the mall one day. And as she went down, her dress went up, clear over her head. And I wish you could have seen my mother trying to get the dress. I mean, it was a comedy act, right in the middle of the mall. And she says, that took me by surprise. That's embarrassing. It is embarrassing when we fall. You know, when we fall as Christians, when we do fall, sometimes it's more than embarrassing, isn't it? Sometimes it's tremendously convicting. God convicts us because we made a wrong choice. We had a wrong thought. We did something wrong. We spoke something wrong. And so you and I are charged, we're commanded to walk with Him. Look at verse 2 of Colossians chapter 2, or verse 6 of Colossians chapter 2, and notice what it says. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, if you have opportunity today, walk with Him. That's not what it says, is it? No, it gives a specific command. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus. Have you received Him? If you have received Christ Jesus the Bible way, then you and I are commanded to walk in Him, to walk in Christ. That's exactly, and it means just that. And I said this before, but I say it again. Walk is a military term in the Greek language. Lots of military terms. And it means literally to tread around. It means to be in step with. It means that you're synchronized in your steps. You're walking in Him. You're walking with Him. You're in step with Him. You're treading out the ground that He wants you to walk upon. The idea is it takes a disciplined life to be in step with the Lord. It takes a disciplined life. You have to get up and get on your knees. You have to get up and get in the Word. You have to allow Him to work in your life. You have to empty yourself. You have to say, Lord, I want to be a vessel meet for the Master's use. And I have to put away sin and self. If I don't, I'll live for myself. If not, my members will sin. My hands, my eyes, my feet, my mind, my ears, my tongue. And so I have to be in step with Him. If we're not in step with Him, now watch this, if we're not in step with Him, how can we ever walk in Him? We have got to be in step. Now, how does that work? All right, I want you to turn now to that place where you put the ribbon of your Bible, 2 Peter. And I want to now get to the crux of my title and deal with the text. We'll not finish this thought tonight. We'll come back to it again next Wednesday. But I want you to look at what the Bible says in chapter 1, verse 10. Notice what the Bible says. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, watch it carefully. For if you do these things, what things? There are those words again, these things. What things? If you do diligence in making sure your calling, making sure your election. If you do these things, now you read with me. Ye shall What? Ye shall what? Never fall. Question, is it possible to walk in Him and never fall? Is it possible? If the Bible's true, it's possible. The idea is that we have to discipline ourselves to be in the walk. Notice the word diligence in the text. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren... Now, we're talking to Christians. We're not talking to unsaved people tonight. He's talking to believers. Give diligence. Another military term. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. All right, let's examine those two words. Most people like to flee from these words. These are good words. We should not ever be afraid of a Bible word. Never be afraid of a Bible word. It has meaning. It has purpose. God has it there to teach us. What is our calling? All right, think with me just for a moment. When I got saved in 1975, I was called out of darkness into light. My salvation called me out of darkness, and I was placed in the light. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I received Christ. And because I received Christ, now I have been called out of darkness into light. All right, question. Have you been called? If you've been saved, you've been called out of darkness into light. Have you been called? Thank you. It's okay to answer. It helps you. You've been called. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 talks about our calling. Over and over and over. You know what we think? We read that in the Bible and we say, well, that must be talking about a pastor. That's talking about a missionary being called to the field. No, we've all been called. It has to do with our salvation. All right, now let's look at that next word that we sometimes have heart palpitations over. Election. Shouldn't be afraid of election. When you understand that God has elected all to salvation, you don't have a problem with that. That's a done deal. Now that takes care of Calvinism, does it not? Because we believe that God has elected all to salvation. He died for the whole world. For whosoever will shall come. He's not picking and choosing who can be saved. That's why we shouldn't pick and choose who should be members of this church. He died for the world. I love our church. And I love the culture that we have in our church. I'm thankful for it. And I believe if our Lord was here, He would be pleased. If we're just going to be a highfalutin church and cater to one kind of people, we have missed the whole commission. If we're going to do that, let's take all those missionaries off the field and build our building. See, that's why we have to be so cautious. Our election, our calling, when we make sure of that, then we shall not fall. Now, I love this word fall. When I found out the Greek meaning of this word fall and how it is expressed in the language, it was a blessing to me. I wrote it down to read it to you. This is simply a double negative. Now, when I spoke in with double negatives in the English language, my English teacher would always correct me. But in the Greek language, they do it for emphasis. This is a double negative, which strengthens the very denial that it's referring to. It strengthens the meaning of its own denial. And the idea is this, because you are walking in Christ, you will by no means ever fall. No, not ever. That's the double negative. What is that teaching us? Now watch this. It is teaching us that when we, because we have received Him, and we make sure our salvation, our calling and election, we make it sure because we have received Him, we can get up tomorrow and we can walk in Him. And we can walk in Him and we do not have to choose to sin. We do not have to choose to fall. Because when we walk in Him, ye shall never, no, never fall. So would you say, obeying this commandment in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, would you say that's an important command? If you've received Christ Jesus, walk ye in Him. And if you do it the Bible way, you can walk. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm not talking about us attaining a level of sanctification that we no longer sin. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what the Bible is teaching. But what it is teaching is this. We, in this old flesh that we live in, and it is corrupt. I want to tell you something right now. There's no good thing within our flesh. That's why just the fact of what I said about culture rubs against us sometimes because of our flesh. We have to go beyond that. All right, now watch this. If we can put a handle on our receiving Christ, making sure our election and our calling, then we can walk in Him and we can do so without falling. Hey, when you watch someone in their life, recently I was speaking to someone about a senior member of our church, and that person is here tonight. And I said this to this person. I said, she is a godly woman. And you know what this person said? That has known her for years. He said, you are exactly right. She is a godly woman. How does that testimony get established? Does it get established by people being unfaithful to church? It gets established by our testimony. It gets established because we choose to be faithful. That's walking in Him. We're going to be at church. We're going to speak about the Bible. We're going to be able to have a verse on our heart that God has given us recently. We're going to be able to witness effectively. We're going to be able to establish that kind of testimony because we're not always falling down. Christians who always fall down, you know who hurts when mom and dad fall down all the time? Your children. It confuses them. They don't understand that. That's why the Bible commands us to walk in Him and says, if you've received Christ, that's a huge if. Make sure your election and your calling. Then you can walk in Him and ye shall never fall as you walk in Him. The day you stop walking in Him, you'll fall. And someone will say, how disappointing is that? Someone will say, that's crushing. That hurts me. Children say it. And the older your children get, the more they can see these things. Because we've received Christ, we should not be living like we used to before we received Him. There should be a difference in our life. All things have passed away. Isn't that what the Bible says? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. So you and I have opportunity to walk in Him every day without falling. If we have received Christ, if we make sure our election and our calling, we will be able to walk and know never fall as we put ourselves in Him. Now, with that kind of foundation laid, let me take this to another level. And let's turn the prism and let's let the light of God's Word come in from another angle and solidify that foundation that we've just examined from our text, from the Bible. Dedicated, serious believers have a desire to live this way. Now, we still fall. We are still human. And we have to say, Lord, forgive us. But we do have, deep inside, we've made our election and our calling sure. We've received Christ. We've made sure of those things. And deep in our soul, we want to do it. And that's why walking is the disciplined life and it's walking with Him on a daily basis. Look back at Colossians chapter 6, and I want to point this phrase out to you. Colossians chapter 2, that is, verse 6, I'm sorry. As ye therefore, it says very clearly, as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus. This indicates that there are some important activity that has previously been going on. As ye have therefore. There are two phrases in the verses previous to this. Now, I want you to put your thinking caps on tonight, and I want you to stay with me, okay? This is not hard. This is not deep. But I want you to think with me in the context. You hear me say all the time, a sermon that is not dealt with in the context is nothing more than a pretext. So we're keeping everything in its context. So we're going to go back. Let's go back to verse 2. That's a key verse. And notice here's the first of two phrases that factor in this matter of walking without falling, walking in Christ without falling. That their hearts, notice what it says, might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. We read that and say, what does all that mean? He just lost me. No, I don't think he did. I think if you think this thing through, if you have not ever done a study on the mysteries of God, it's good that we do. Now, this sermon doesn't do that. But first of all, I want to define for you what a mystery is. A mystery is not something that is mystically hid because we don't have brains enough to know about it, or it's not a matter of a mystery like we would know of today, like reading a mystery novel. That is not the meaning of this word. This word mystery is simply a word that says there has been a truth that has not been known to you, but we're going to reveal that truth to you. And when that truth gets revealed to you, you will be able to see that truth. It's a truth that you could not see prior until God wanted you to see it. You see, in our little peewee brains, we can't take it if we knew everything that God was going to do with us. Do you know that? We'd all have nervous breakdowns. I mean, we would all say, that cannot be. I mean, I could just illustrate it this way. Growing up in Middle Georgia, fifth in the family, never being the star football player, never being chosen first on the ball team, but loving ball and playing ball, always never coming in first, always coming in behind the middle class, those things I grew up with. And therefore, I was very introverted. I was very quiet, meek, and sweet. If you would have said to me, when Dolly and I got married, which I wasn't saved, one day you're going to be a preacher, I would have laughed in your face as the furthest from my mind. I would have given you heart failure, probably, with what I would have told you. What happened? There is a series of mysteries. And that's what makes the Christian life so exciting. You do not know what God's going to do next for you. And it can get very exciting. I'm glad I do not know. All right, now think with me about that definition as a mystery. I want to help you see this. There is the mystery of His will. And I've got about 6 minutes to do this. All right, take your Bibles and let's look at three more verses of Scripture. All of them are in Ephesians chapter 1. Go with me there if you would, please. Let me just illustrate this to you from the Bible so you'll understand about this matter of the mystery of Christ, acknowledging the mystery of Christ and how God works in our lives as we walk in Him. Now, all of this happens. Now, watch this. All of this happens as we are in step with Him. This will not happen if you will not dedicate yourself to the walk. But when you dedicate yourself to the walk, you can expect the mysteries of God to unfold in your life. And I want to tell you something. I don't care how old you are tonight. Before you is a mystery. You don't know what's going to happen to your life. You don't know how you're going to die. You don't know if you're going to get a disease, have a car wreck, die of a heart attack. You don't know any of those things. You know what this means? This means that every person, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, if you have received Christ, now watch this, if you make sure your calling and your election, and you walk in Him as He commands us to do, you can do so without falling, and He unfolds every mystery of our life. The next step, the next phase of our life, the next part of God's will. All right, so God's will, and for me to say this, it has to be in the Bible. I'm just not saying this to be saying it. I want to show this to you in the Bible. All right, let's look at verse number 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His, you tell me, will. You say, well, now, Pastor, you know, I'm a layman. And so the will of God's really not important to me. Don't go there. Every person that has been called out of darkness, every person who's made sure that calling and that election, every person that has received Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, there is a will, God's will for you. And God unfolds that will in our lives day after day. I recently told someone this. They said to me, are you enjoying pastoring Cross Point Baptist Church? And I says, I'm having the time of my life. And he says, has there been challenges? I said, of course there's been challenges. And he says, well, does that make you nervous? No. Because when you're in God's will, I do not care what the challenge is. God is going to get us through it. It doesn't matter what the challenge is. If you're taking every step in Him, it does not make any difference. It could be a sin challenge. It could be a financial challenge. It could be a physical challenge, a legal challenge, a doctrinal challenge. It doesn't matter. Character challenge. That means when you're in step with Him that He is going to guide you. He is unfolding this whole thing. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to make it happen. I don't have to manipulate. All I'm going to do is walk in it. Are you catching it? That's what we're going to do. That's the way in which it works its way out. If I step in and try to manipulate, if I step in and try to have my way, let me tell you something, I'd make a mess of this place. You cannot do that. No one has the right to do that. You're falling. Can't build falling. You're always embarrassed. Having to get up, dust yourself off. But when we walk in Him, He has a will for every one of us. All right, let's keep reading. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure. Wow, I like that. Which He hath purposed in Himself. Being in God's will. Did you know every teacher in this school should be in God's will? Every pastoral staff member should be in God's will. Every deacon should be in God's will. Every staff member, every member of this church should be in God's will. It's important for us to be in God's will. When we're out of God's will, then we get nervous and we have to figure it all out. We can't figure it out. Tomorrow's mysteries are in God's hands. We're to be walking. So here's the businessman sitting here. Say, what am I going to do? Economy doesn't look too good. You're going to do what you did yesterday. You're going to trust in Him. You're going to trust in Him and say, God, I'm in Your will. I want to walk with You. And because of that, you're going to meet every single need that my family has, that my company has. You're going to take care of this. Folks, listen. Are you with me tonight? This is living by faith. In God's will. Every step of the way. I like this because this teaches me that God employs His will in my life. He has purposed it all in Himself. Isn't that exciting? That's why I might have a tremendous burden. I may get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and pray about it, as I did the other morning and fell asleep. Fell asleep on your knees. You ever fallen asleep praying? That's better than falling asleep watching television. And I want to tell you something. One night I fell asleep in the middle of the morning and didn't realize it. You ever had your foot go to sleep? You ever had your leg go to sleep? Have you ever had both your legs go to sleep and tried to get up and go upstairs? I'm telling you, I was a mess. I found myself laying on the floor until my circulation got better before I could get up the steps. But I had rather... Now, the burden allowed me to pray, but I want to tell you something. My wife will tell you. She says, when you come to bed about 3 minutes later, you're snoring. You're gone. I believe we can have a burden and get up and pray, but I believe we should have some of the sweetest sleep in the world because we're in God's will and He's meeting out His purpose. I belong to Him. I don't belong to myself. I don't belong to you. I belong to Him. And because I belong to Him, I can rest in that. Look at verse 5 quickly. I'm already out of time. But I want to show you. Here's another word. Having predestinated us. Great word. Predestination always has to do with the believer. Predestined to become conformed to the image of Christ. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You know what? Not only am I employed by God to live in His will, now watch this, but now not only employed, but now I must endure God's will. There's an endurance here. In other words, I can't jump ship. We're learning about Jonah. He jumped ship. Well, he was thrown overboard, but he went the wrong way. I don't have that option. Not if I'm going to walk in Him without falling. I don't have that choice. So I discipline myself and I realize that according to the good pleasure of His will, that means anything comes down the pike, any burden, any load, anything, any surprise, we get surprised in our life. You know something? God never gets surprised. He's never woke up one day and looked down what was happening to you and say, "Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen to you." He just doesn't do that. He knows all things. God is not taken back by any of this. Watch this. When we're walking in Him, we shouldn't be either. When we're surprised is when we're not walking. We've fallen. When we're walking with Him, there's no surprises. Why? Because He will allow... We had a great message yesterday at the Pastor's Fellowship. Great message. I appreciate it so much. God will make a way. We can endure. Let me show you the last one real quick about His will. About His will. Look at verse 11. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose, same word as will, by the way, in the Greek, of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. In other words, this enduring God's will, being employed in God's will, enduring God's will, there is enjoyment. Look at back to verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. This is a good pleasure. This is God's will. We go from the employment to the enduring to the enjoyment of God's will. Every one of us has been called. We should be in God's will. When we're in God's will and in His step, we should be able to walk in Him without falling. And regardless of what comes into our life, we're going to be able, because we're in step with Him, give that to God. And God's going to allow us to work through that. God's going to allow us to get through it so that He will prove Himself to be the mighty God He is. And He's not taken by surprise by it. And because He's not taken by surprise, we have an endurance about us. And the will of God actually is enjoyable. The will of God should not be loathsome. If you're in God's will on your job, you should get up tomorrow and say, "Lord, thank you for my job. I'm glad I got one to go to. Now take me safely." We should be thankful. We should enjoy God's will. We should have good days in God's will. And people who are walking in Him, not falling off, not falling, but walking in Him, can endure the very things that God puts in their life, whether it be physical, financial, it makes no difference. You can even enjoy it because you know you're in God's will. You should not be loathing God's will tomorrow for your life. It's not going to take Him by surprise. That's the mystery of His will. That's why Epaphras prayed, "Lord," as he prayed for the church at Colossae, for them to be in the perfect and complete will of God. The perfect will of God is our daily walk. The complete will of God is, all right, here's the mystery. 1975, I got saved. 1976, 9 months later, God called me to preach. Huge mystery. I told Him for 7 days, "You've made a mistake. Can't be. I've never taught a Sunday school class, never been a deacon, never been anything except heartache to the youth pastor. Got the wrong person." I shared that with our seniors not too long ago. God revealed the mystery of that. Then He revealed the mystery of going to school, selling our house, selling our possessions, going to school. Got through school, graduated from school, and He revealed the mystery of the pastorate. And we spent time in Alabama and time in West Virginia. We got through that time, and God revealed another mystery. Took us to Troy. For 21 years we were at Troy. And then recently God revealed another mystery. I want to tell you something. This is fun. This is great. You say, "Well, Pastor, don't those offering charts give you heart palpitations?" No. This is God's work. This is just proof that God is going to do something great. I like this. I don't like it when we have it easy all the time. I like it when we're on our knees praying. God puts us there. He reveals that mystery. Now, tomorrow, my wife may wake up and I could be cold, 4 o'clock dead in the bed. I hope not. My life will be over. You'll push me in a casket in this. Somebody say some things over me, put me in a hole, and I'll be done. Don't think I'm there. I won't be there. I'm with Him. I'm really enjoying life now. And my mystery will be over. But until then, guess what? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but it sure is fun living for Him. And I don't want to fall. Because I complicate things when I fall. So I want to be in step with Him. And I trust you will too. Thank you for letting me go over. You're kind, sweet people. Like your pastor. Let's all stand, would you please?